Hey guys, this is the first episode of the Saturday Morning Cuddle Talk podcast. Yes, it is a great title. Yes, I know. Don't cream your pants over it. This is Bobby Perez talking. Andrew Merrick, my co-host, Sonny Perez, who's going to be joining us later on. Guys, just get ready for the podcast. It's just me and Drew talking. Let's get into it. What do you say? So it's a new year, Minnesota Gophers football. What are you guys bringing to the table, Drew? Yeah, I'm asking you.
A football team.
Yeah, your football team.
We're bringing a football team to the table. And that football team,
well, what
God,
is...
God only knows how they're going to be.
So it's the second year under who? Again, what's the coach's name from Western Michigan that went
Mr.
over?
Mr. Fleck. Mr. Fleck, PJ Fleck. Yeah, and PJ I tell Fleck. You what, I love the guy. I really do. I don't really know... He can recruit like crazy. It's all about how he's going to be able to coach the boys he gets in there, you know?
Whatever happened to the guy that actually, my gosh, I'm going to forget his name. The running back, actually, from like Minneapolis area. Remember he played in the under?
Jones.
Yeah, whatever happened to him? Didn't he go to junior college
junior
or like
Iowa? And then I lost track because he's not playing for my favorite team. So it's fucking, I don't really.
Didn't you guys get the old like quarterback too from Oregon, Seth Green, who was, or is it Seth Green?
Yeah, no, we do a lot of recruiting of guys that end up flaking out. It's just how it works.
Is there any like prize moments that are prize like players that you guys are getting this year?
We did get a couple guys from the old IMG Academy that
you guys got guys from IMG. Oh, it wasn't a lineman.
Two offensive linemen, two big time offensive linemen that PJ seems to think are going to be pretty fucking good at football.
Well, yeah, if you're going to IMG Academy,
we're
going to
get killed here.
By the way, if anybody is wondering what's going on right now, we're also watching the Oregon State versus Minnesota game right now in the Super Regional. Just the way we roll here.
Not a good matchup, folks. Not a good matchup here. My Gophers had a damn good year.
Number 3 Oregon State versus number 14 Minnesota.
These guys are fucking good. So
at least they've made it to the dance in our sense.
Oh, good. And one of our best players just gets hurt, too. That's neat.
I don't know. I think he's maybe pulling out a tick.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say you're probably not...
You can't wear number 13 and expect nothing to happen to you.
He fucking looks like he just dislocated his shoulder and they just sent him back out there.
Right.
There it is.
There.
Look at him. He's like, oh, I made a huge mistake. Look at him. Oh, God.
Like, did he jam it? He did
like,
something.
He's like, that hurts. And he got up and threw the baseball.
But yeah, well, he gunned him right there. That's an out.
Dude, this Oregon State team is fucking the worst matchup of all time for the Gophers.
You know what I love about this podcast is that we can swear.
Yeah, and you know, nobody can tell us that we can't either because we're in a goddamn basement talking into a cell phone.
Exactly.
It's pretty neat.
And then if Andrew Stocker was here, I know Andrew Stocker's going to tune into this and he's going to wonder what he's been missing.
He'll tune into it like 3 weeks from now. He's like, what are you guys doing?
No, he's going to listen to it, I think, first day of his first journey back out in the FedEx truck. But
He might do it.
But... Now, I mean, what are the key components right now for Minnesota to even win this game? Like, who do we have aside from Ginger McAdams here?
I tell you what, it's a gritty team for sure. I mean, they can run a little bit. Let's just keep in mind right away here that Oregon State is loaded, and if we beat them, it'll be an upset. It'll be a very sizable upset.
No, it will be, obviously. Oregon State's
and we're ranked 14th in the country. So, like, this, for me, is... Well, it's depressing because I just see all the talent that Oregon State has, and it's fucking depressing. It is just depressing.
Oh, it's from Minnetonka.
Yeah, there it's mostly go. Minnesota kids, which, God bless them. I love Minnesota kids that decide
they love to play
they're not
game.
Too good to play for a damn good school.
Just shoot them down. You know, how many kids are going to be actually tuning into this podcast and be like, God, these guys are going to say a lot of good stuff about us. Oh, no, they shot us down hard.
Oh, man, we suck. No, good as squad, bad matchup. If they would have played against like A&M or Arkansas, I would have felt relatively good about it. But
our pitcher, the Minnesota Gophers pitcher, is like the poster child for Two Gingers Whiskey.
It's just like legitimately, he's the biggest redhead I've ever seen in my life.
He's like 6'5". He hasn't seen sun in seven. Swear to God, they've been playing him in a dome. That's why he's pitching so bad.
If you could pick one state where this kid would be from, it would be either fucking Washington or Oregon. Guess where he's from? He's from Washington.
He's from Ireland.
There's no sun there. It rains like crazy. Doesn't get sunburnt. It works out really well for the Gophers. Oh, we don't get sun either.
This is
6 months out of the year.
So yeah, UNC beating Stetson. They're on to the College World Series now.
Yes, and that was pretty predictable. There, I mean, so do they Stetson's a good squad, but
so do they do the Super Regional in two different phases of like
no Super Regional.
Somebody
is best
starts
of three.
Earlier.
No, but what do you mean?
if somebody starts earlier, like as in like their game one is like 2 days before their like the other side's game one, because it already said that.
What in the fuck are you talking about?
What I'm talking about is that it said that Stetson just lost. UNC was going on to the game or to the College World Series, but then there's like only Florida leads the series, say at 1-0 right now over Auburn.
Yes.
They still have two more games to play.
No, they have two games to play. It's best of three.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, yeah. So if somebody started off earlier, like they played a game like say yesterday, like or some series started like the day before, right? Did they start yesterday to play the series?
Two days ago. It's an every other day thing.
That's what I'm getting at, Drew. Okay. You don't gotta be so angry about it. Look at your mad Mike Merrick playing poker right now.
That's the reason you put me on this goddamn radio show, Bobby. I know that's why you asked me to do this.
I did. And it's honestly, I think it's gonna pay off in the long run. I think we're gonna get picked up by the ESPN. ESPN 8, the Ocho.
I'd rather not. I hate this. I typically hate ESPN. Because you know what? They'll turn into a LeBron thing.
Hey, how hard?
They will. They'll turn into a LeBron thing somehow.
Here's a real perspective. How hard is it really to start a sports company and just take everything away from ESPN?
I'm going to go ahead and say it's not easy.
But it's doable. You didn't say it wasn't doable. You just said it wasn't easy.
You got to work hard, buddy. Everything you want in life, you got to work hard.
Okay, what is your take about like the UFC giving ESPN now some of their contract basically to pick up fights and broadcast them?
UFC?
Yeah, UFC has signed a contract to ESPN.
Cool, I'll street fight. They're put me on there?
I want to get you and your brother street fighting.
Who? Which one?
Bradley.
Oh, yeah, no, it's easy. No, ECW for me.
You would lose against Crunch in a heartbeat.
Yeah, he'll mind.
He's
he'll
so
mind
I swear he's like just like so protective of his teeth. It's just ridiculous.
The ultimate defense is loving your teeth.
Okay.
In the UFC, your ultimate defense is loving your teeth.
Let's do a small tournament kind of bracket here. You have Stocker, Andrew Stocker.
Our guy, Andrew Stocker.
Versus Brad.
Yeah.
You have you versus Crunch.
Okay.
Your brother.
And these are all in just UFC, just straight out. Hey,
who do you think?
Right? Is that what you're saying?
Who do you think wins in a bracket matchup? Basically, like a belt.
Out of the four of us.
Yep.
It's like a four-man bracket.
Yeah, because I'm not gonna be
fucking crazy hypothetical you're throwing at me here.
Yeah, because I feel like we talk a lot about black on black crime, so I want to talk about white on white crime.
Oh, okay. Well, here's the thing. I think we'll all get together. We'll have a really good time because we're, you know, we like each other.
But do you
and,
think
and we won't fight at all. And at the end of the day,
I don't think Stocker would ever lose in a fight. Like, he would just be too nice.
He would be so nice. He'd shake your hand before the fight.
I feel like
he'd buy you a present or something. He'd be like, hey, congrats, good luck. Like, if you win, congrats. And you'd be like, you already beat me. Like, you just mind screwed me. I'm done.
I feel like if Stocker got in a fight, he would just be like...
He'd hug the guy to death.
He would talk somebody into be like... He'd be so nice, he'd talk somebody into punching themselves in the face so Stocker would win.
Probably.
Right?
It wouldn't surprise me.
Like, hey, do you really want to punch a guy who lost 60 pounds? Do you really want to do that?
Hey, I'm just a happy guy.
Just like an anorexic Jason Kubel.
And Jason Kubel... For those of you who know what Jason Kubel is, he was some kind of baseball player.
The bee's knees and the Minnesota Twins.
Our team, the Minnesota Twins, by the way.
Gosh. So, Buxton and company.
Oh, good. This is my favorite topic.
Not here. Doing business this year. Not doing business this year.
Our two best prospects are garbage so far.
What happened to Buxton? Like, he left on such a high note last year. Obviously, he came in from injury.
He had a one-month stretch.
Yeah.
The guy can't stay healthy to save his life. He's the fastest guy in baseball. By a long shot.
And that's the thing. He's literally a human highlight reel. Like, he can go up and just, like, catch anything that's in his way.
You're talking defense here. And defense is great because he's the best defensive center
fielder. But he was even bringing his bat last year towards the end.
He was, for a month.
Yeah.
And somehow, some way, just not figured out hitting it.
Is it just the layoff? Like, is it literally just a layoff?
From his injuries?
Yeah. Well, yeah, just a layoff, like, even in this preseason or in the offseason.
From when I watch him, because I watch damn near every Twins game there is. It's fucking really sad. But I watch a lot of those. Almost every Twins game.
I do too. It's disappointing to me, but I think that's the fall always of being a Minnesota, like any sports fan in general.
Yeah, I mean, you just watch knowing full well you're going to get let down. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just how it works. But for Buxton, the guy just fucking can't hit right now. He just can't do it. Like, I don't know what it is. He's got all the tools. And the one thing I've said from the get-go is, like, if this guy could just learn how to drop down a goddamn bunt,
he
would be a fucking 280 hitter.
Isn't he a lefty?
He's a righty.
Is he a righty?
What? Buxton is a righty.
No, I'm thinking Hicks. Hicks was a righty, too, wasn't he?
Hicks is with the Yankees. We traded him, then he got good. That's what we do. We fucking wait. We wait like a month before they start figuring out.
What are you talking about? There's never been a player that we've ever had that's good. I mean, David Ortiz found a stride later on in life.
Denard Span found his... Okay, no, that's a bad one, because Denard Span was pretty good for us, but he was limited in his tools. He wasn't a power guy. He was fast early in his career, faster.
He was a good. But he was a good player.
But then he eventually, like, he has a niche. Denard Span's a solid hitter. He's not gonna strike out.
No, he's a good contact. Play. He's a contact hitter.
That's why like teams will trade for him, and you know he's gotten moved around a lot because his ceiling and his bottom.
Yeah.
You know,
are you talking about his butt, or are you talking about like the bottom?
No, we're not doing butt stuff here. This is
Denard. If you're somehow tuning in right now, this guy right now lives. I'll tell you, don't get a package delivered by him because he's gonna look at your butt, the bottom.
He plays for. No, he just got traded from the Rays to the Mariners. That was like 2 weeks ago.
He had a long stint over in DC with the Nationals, right?
When we traded him for a prospect that. Ironically, never panned out. Which is what the Twins will trade decent players for shitty players. And
so tell me how this works out. Is that we have probably one of the best farm systems in...
No, we don't. Not anymore? It's decent now, but when Buxton and Snow got called up, they weren't considered prospects anymore, and our farm system was like 20th. But then we got Royce Lewis... Who we drafted?
Yeah,
be honest with you. I hated the pick. I hated it.
No, I did too. But shortstop. Didn't he pick up like he went from like double A to triple A? Didn't recently?
He's gonna be a stud. Like I watched a couple Colonels games. What was it when he was playing with them? He got promoted. He's with Chattanooga now, but he got promoted it was probably 4 months. He started at Cedar Rapids. So Cedar Rapids is he just gets hitting. Like, he's the opposite of Buxton when it comes to hitting. It's like, he understands the strike zone for one. He doesn't strike out. Buxton's the opposite. Buxton strikes out, has no fucking idea what's going on. Right now, I'm not saying he can't get any better. I'm just saying.
Is he just a guy that matures later on, like after he's seen Buxton? Pitchers? Yeah, like
only if we trade him. Only if the fucking
no. But I'm not even talking about like that. I'm not talking about further on his career. I'm talking about as in like further on this season. It seemed like last year you started picking it up a lot more.
He had a stretch, which is what they're.
Like I'm not just talking about that month. He started getting three quarter of the end of the season.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like for the Twins, I think they've learned their lesson when it comes to like giving up on guys. Because they've done it, traded guys, they've become good players.
That's been amazing.
Which is not shocking. That's why we don't fucking win anything, because we just don't wait. Buxton's a guy you got to give a lot of time to develop, because we drafted him out of high school too. He came straight in the minors. He raked in the minors.
Yeah.
But he hasn't figured out major league pitching yet. And for him, when I watch him play, he's just completely lost the plate. Falls behind early. When he does swing early in the count, it's at shit pitches. And then he strikes out a ton. Like, he just hasn't figured it out.
As a batter, if you're struggling so bad at the plate, why not just go back and look at like that month stretch that you were just tearing it up?
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like, the hitting coach, what was he doing?
Him back.
What was he doing
exactly?
Then
why weren't you
that
taking?
He isn't doing now or before?
And that's
he's been hurt.
And you know, as a coach, I mean, when we're going to be there at any point in time. Why? Like, you would take notes. I think you would take notes, or you would take.
No, I mean, I think that they saw what he did well, and they've tried to incorporate what he did well in that stretch.
Yeah.
Which, to be honest with you,
that's what I mean. Like,
I don't know what he was doing well. I think he was just making contact with pitches that any major league good hitter would be making contact pitches.
But in baseball, obviously, it's very tough. I think at the same time, when you basically you have a certain sense of confidence at that point in time.
Yes, and that has all about a lot to do with it. There's a mental aspect to baseball which is different than any other sport, and that's what makes the game beautiful, which is my favorite. That's why it's my favorite sport.
I agree with you.
You can psych yourself out in baseball. In football, it's all instincts, athletic ability, basketball, kind of the repetition of shooting, and you're doing all that shit. And it's like, baseball's different. It's just a different game.
I think it was our third year playing Legion together, me and you. You had been on the team already for like a year prior to me even starting. I think I was like 15 when I started, and you started when you were 14.
It was 2 years. That's not a strike, you coxswain.
Once again, guys, we're watching the Oregon State versus the Minnesota game. Was it 2 years? Was it a 2 year difference? I came in with Solon.
I played for 2 years.
I came
before
in with,
you played. I
yeah.
Played,
except okay.
I played
yeah,
Matt.
Yeah.
I played with my brother. You never played with Matt, did you?
I played with Matt one. That's when we beat Excelsior.
Okay, then one year because we're the same age. So I mean,
yeah,
makes sense.
So, how was it for me, like a confidence level, when you didn't hit your first home run, your first dinger, and I hit one before you.
That's right.
And I hit one before you.
Yeah, this is great because you were an awful athlete. So this is it's funny because like this guy just shows up and we weren't there because we were playing in the state tournament for high school playoffs for high school, but our Legion team had already started.
There's a
and
lot.
Bobby hit a pop fly home run with the wind.
Pop fly home run.
Oh, that's gone. Oh, get out of here.
I ripped it just like this guy.
Flied out the center.
Just flied out the center.
But no, this is he holds it over my head. He hit a home run before I did.
Well, the reason I hold it over your head is because literally the reaction I got from you. Okay, so it was literally the first one from that year.
Literally came back to dugout. I shook his hand.
And no, you did not just shake my hand.
I said, "How did you do that?" No, I didn't. You're right. No. I didn't shake your hand. I said, "How the fuck did you do
that?"
Yeah,
you looked at me. You basically grabbed me. You go, "How the fuck did you do that?"
Yeah, I thought it was a joke. I thought the guy. He told the guy to throw him a fastball down the middle or something.
Okay, so the one thing that really kind of helped me out during that whole situation was the sole fact that Bradley Layla sold it in my head that we were going to be playing against a pitcher that day that was throwing 90 miles an hour who was going to be getting drafted by somebody
against some small North Dakota school.
We were playing against Drayton.
Yeah, North Dakota school.
Yeah, Bradley Layla goes, yeah, he's throwing 90, easy, 90 above that, blah, blah, blah. And I go, what are you talking about? So I got in the play. Gusto says he's going to start me. Next thing you know, it was like the first at bat, and I nub one off the first end. Gusto was just yelling at me, yelling and yelling and yelling, because I just nubbed one off. It was a slacker hit, but I got on big. And next thing you know, it was the next at bat. Gusto was yelling at me, and he's like just slapping his hands. You know what Gusto is.
Yeah,
you know,
he does the whole thing where it's like, hey, if I do this, obviously going to hit a home run.
Knuckle up, knuckle up. And I was sat there, and I was like, God, you're getting really, like, how, check your hands. Like, I'm worried right now. And then next thing you know, I just hit one out after Talon hit one out, just like deep center.
Yeah, yeah.
And I hit one out deep left.
Yeah, it was left center. I'll remember it to this day because I wasn't playing yet. Remember, I was on the bench. I wasn't actually playing.
Yeah, you're on the bench because you were worse than me at that point.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, I just when the ball went over the fence, I thought to myself, Bobby needs to get his pants checked because he just jizzed his pants.
It wasn't the first time. Wasn't gonna be the last.
It actually was, and it was. Both of those things. That's real. That actually.
Not if you count all the times that I played in Red Lake Falls.
You're right, because they don't have a fence, and Bobby hit line drive to the gap. He could just run around the bases. It was
Technically, if we're going to be technical.
And that is a home run, though.
We're going to be technical.
That actually is a home run.
They have a snow fence.
You're right. It went through the fence, and guys had to literally climb over the fence to get the ball and come back. And they treated it like it wasn't a home run, so Bobby just like sprinting around the bases.
There were 7 cutoffs to get the ball back to us because of the snow fence. Yep.
And Bobby still almost didn't make it home.
I was dying. At that point in time, I was fat. I was really fat. And that's when Nick Maloney ruined our game for us. I don't know if you ever heard about that situation.
Nick Maloney?
Because you were on the good 15-year-old team. Me and Lurch got stuck on the green 15-year-old team, which is like nobody bought us.
This is a 15-year-old team. I thought you were talking about Legion, where I wasn't there or something.
No, this was a 15-year-old team. I'm talking about that's when I hit the dingers. That's how good I am.
When I hit the dingers.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're so happy.
I always want that, because I always used to do the Sammy Sosa. I used to drop that.
That's right. You did things that didn't help you be better at baseball. Oh, I remember that.
100%, man. But I love the game either way. I could care less if I sucked at it.
It was a good ass time.
I could care less. I thought I was...
I thought I could have been a lot better. This game's already... I mean, you can just watch this Oregon State game and just say, this game's over. It's 1-0 in the second.
Top second. No outs. It's 1-0.
The sheer level of talent that Oregon State has compared to Minnesota.
Oh, my God.
Ugh.
Oh, my gosh.
Good season, boys. Good season. It's bad. Hey, at least the Twins drafted one of these.
Hey, how happy were you with... So I just got some ESPN updates. It's UFC updates, actually. Nothing really that matters. Oh, did I see Overeem lost? Overeem did lose. Overeem went down.
You're UFCing right now.
Like, well, no, I've had someone just came up, prelims. How does Alistair Overeem go from being a headliner in any UFC fight, just dominating the roided out, majestic Dutchman?
Is the UFC just kind of crumbled like that?
I feel like, honestly, I am never excited for a fight anywhere.
I'm not either. And it's like it's
remember,
not...
Do you remember how much we used to watch?
We used to fucking order pay-per-views and get shit-faced.
Religiously. like religiously.
Yeah, at your old house, we used to.
And now we're getting excited over Oregon State versus Minnesota baseball.
Don't act like this is a step down here because I actually like watching Minnesota more than I ever liked watching the UFC.
Don't lie to yourself. I'm just joking. But no, I think that UFC has taken a really. I think for me, what they've done wrong is all these super fights are so stupid. The super fights have ruined everything for title contentions in the weight classes, I think is what it's really ruined it for me.
Yeah. No, you know what? It seems like the UFC used to have a guy that was just a stud in every weight class.
It was like that.
Yeah, but now it's like every. And I don't get me wrong. This isn't the NBA. Like the NBA has no parity. Yeah. I could have told you Golden State and Cleveland were going to be playing the finals. Fucking.
I was
the
really,
beginning of the season. That's why I hate the NBA.
Here's the thing. I was really hoping for Milwaukee for somehow to just really pull it out.
But you knew better though. Like you knew that was never going to happen.
Drew, I was a Clippers fan for like the longest time.
Miles. You can't even spell Clippers.
Darius Miles, baby.
Oh Jesus.
Oh my God.
He was in Van Wilder. Do you know that?
Yes, I did.
Fantastic movie, by the way.
He was also in a stupid movie with Chris Evans that was called like ACT, I think, or something like that.
Yeah.
But where they had to steal the ATC scores, and he was a horrible actor.
How does a guy that can't act, they just throw him in movies? Like he's a shitty basketball player at that. I mean, I can't really say that because NBA is, you make the NBA, you're not shitty.
People are like, we just need something exotic, somebody that looks like Avatar before Avatar came out. And like, God. Yeah, we need somebody like that.
I don't think that's a real thing.
Yeah, no, it's 100% a real thing. He had he was like 6'7" with dreads and weighed maybe 110 pounds.
The Van Wilder clip where they had it wasn't just him. It was like the whole Clippers team.
Exactly, it was Corey Maggette and it was like
Maggette and Quentin Nelson. No, Quentin. God, why can't I think of his name? DePaul University. Quentin.
I want to say Jammer, but I keep on thinking Jammer from football.
I say Hooker, but that's a UND basketball player.
Yeah,
Quentin. God, why can't I think of his name?
Just think of the whitest name possible. Smith.
Quentin Smith.
Johnson.
We'll go with that.
Taylor.
Quentin Smith.
Taylor.
No, Quentin.
Merrick.
No, I don't think so. Quentin.
I don't know it.
Robinson.
Is it Quentin Robinson?
I think it's Quentin Robinson.
Okay, if anybody knows the details of this, you got to feel free to drop us a message and let us know when this podcast starts airing. This is going to be great because we're going to be doing this, what do you think, every week?
We'll just ask random-ass questions. And
I would like to do this every week.
It'd be neat to do that, but we're adults and shit happens, so I got real world
things. You have nothing real world. Like, I have more real world
stuff. I gotta go fishing. I gotta go lake next weekend. I gotta go fishing. My little brother gets married, which.
Your brother's not getting married. Like, that's
I still don't believe that either. I still think this is a big joke. I'm just like not in on it.
When I look at Brad, I don't see a mature adult that's gonna get married.
Well, you know what? The funny thing is, he actually seems to be set on this, so...
I think Brad is...
He's making huge mistakes.
I think Brad is the most mature human being, I think, we've actually kind of, had...
I'm going to go ahead and say he takes the bottom card for that in the responsibility department. I'm going to go ahead and say Matthew will win that one.
No, I think Matt does a lot of flossing and a lot of rinsing.
That's pretty responsible, though. He's got fantastic teeth.
Yeah,
that has nothing to do with this.
Yeah, obviously. It looks like he's a spokesperson for Crestwood.
But he also has a better job than both of us. And he's...
Oh, 100%.
He's living in, suburbia,
I feel like Matt walks in the office and it's like one of those horrible scenes from a movie, like Wolf of Wall Street. Like, you know...
He does look like he's going to rob somebody.
Yeah, he looks so unintimidating
that he can just rob somebody.
Like, I feel like he walks in there and there's a guy named Bob in there and he just makes him eat dog food as soon as he comes in.
Yeah,
get down there, Bob.
Like if he starts running the ship
and he just smiles
and
there's that small twinkle in his teeth and they're like, Dentine, what can I do for you?
He's the power trip guy. That's what we're calling that. Even though he's never ever proved that he would be like that. I'll just say it.
Okay, did I ever tell you the story about when Matt first met Eddie? What?
No.
Oh my God. So what was it? I guess it wasn't the first time, but it was the first time that we actually sat and really drank together, and we were watching NFL playoff football, and we were in St. Cloud. Me, Jeff, and Eddie all over there. Eddie had a 12-pack of beer. And I swear Eddie was Houdini because that 12-pack of beer disappeared within 5 minutes of being there. And next thing you know, Eddie had his shirt off, and Eddie was passed out in Matt's couch. We had no idea what was going on. We're just Jeff was looking at me, he's like, did you give Eddie some whiskey? I was like, I don't have anything here. I just had beer, and that was it. And Eddie was just drunk as hell, just passed out. And I remember we ended up, Eddie woke up like in the middle of like the third quarter of a game. I think we were watching the Packers game. And Eddie just woke up and just goes,
You were watching the what?
Yeah, no, it was literally, you can blame your brother because we were watching that game.
Which game?
It was a Packers game. And I don't think it was a Vikings game.
Okay, so that there's no excuse for that because unless you're watching them lose. Because I do that every now and again.
I think we were rooting for the other team. I can't remember who it was though either.
Yeah, no, that's the only way you can watch Packer games.
Okay, I can't really pay attention to what the game was as I was like paying more attention.
But it obviously wasn't the Vikings and Packers.
It wasn't that epic because obviously Eddie would have been. No, he would. He would have been.
He could have been a zombie, and he would have been.
Up he would have been. Yeah,
he could have drank himself into a coma and revived himself for 3 hours.
The Eddie Lutz experience. He is like the gem of everything I've ever done in my life. He is legit. I mean, when he passed out for Toppers, and Toppers came to our door, and he literally just laid on the floor, opened the door, and gave him the money, and he passed him the Toppers box, and he just shut the dorm room door, and just started eating, and he passed out with it in his hand.
From what it sounds like, he did some heroic things in college.
Very heroic. I mean, like walking around butt naked in the bathroom and like sometimes in the
hallways. Yeah, but I do that sober on a Tuesday. Like that's like.
Yeah,
that's...
but you have your own house.
Yeah.
If I do that now, my neighbors are going to get a peek and they're going to be like, oh my gosh, why is Bobby carrying around an anaconda? I'm like, oh, you guys looked. It's your fault.
Well, that's rough life.
Yeah, gifted.
Right.
I mean,
we just all imagine... aspire to be just, like Bobby.
Just imagine what stocks looks like.
Oh my god.
I feel like, you know the scene in Step Brothers where, who's the brother that sings who's the big asshole?
You talking about the guy from the Parks and Rec?
Yeah.
I don't know what his name is.
I can't remember his name, but he's hilarious. No, yeah. Okay, so there's that scene in the movie where he's like, I haven't had a carb in so many days months or whatever. And he flicks like he
flicks. It's a fake abs.
Yeah. I feel like that's what soccer looks like all the time.
That's normal.
Stocks. Oh my god. So we just got a message from Stocks and softball last week because Benny goes, "Hey, we got a bye week," and I started laughing. I was like, "All right, well, I'm not gonna be there." So, and Stocks goes,
"Well, if anybody wants to call, get the golf course if you want."
And I just started laughing though because I was like, Stocks, what are you talking about? Nobody wants to golf with you because you just, I don't know, you just like make everybody else look bad. Like a poster child for like white racism.
Just drives 50 yard drives.
Just dingers. Oh, there we go. We got a roper through.
Hey, we're on the board with a hit.
Oh, man.
No, we just got to score more runs.
Yeah, we're two out though. I mean,
you gotta score more runs than the other team, though.
I'd love to see a person hit a double here and see something going here. But
I wouldn't hate it. I wouldn't hate it if they won the series, to be honest with you.
Oh my god! You see that?
What is this? What is it?
Oh, that's my daughter right now. She's still up.
Cool.
Other two kids are probably passed out.
Oh shit! That's.
Oh.
You just need a.
Liv is a nuisance. So we just give her Benadryl, sometimes whiskey.
Whatever it works, man.
Yes, I am joking, by the way, about the whiskey part.
And I don't have kids, so I don't really know how this. I just know that kids love me, but I don't have any responsibility for children, which is the best. It's like the best uncle you could possibly be, but not having to deal with the worst parts of having children.
You have literally not seen my kids for more than what? Oh, Roper.
Oh. God damn it.
You have not seen my kids. Probably in a year. Like me.
No,
you,
I've seen your kids.
Me and you hang out way more though. Like when my kids are out.
Your kids are never around. Like that's the thing. Like, I
try to do that because you look pretty intimidating.
Yeah, you know, shaved head, goatee, typically.
I referred to you earlier. You look like an anorexic Tim Bosch, and it's a,
anorexic. I'm fucking overweight.
No, Tim Bosch is overweight. You are.
Who's Tim Bosch?
You don't know who Tim Bosch is?
No.
UFC fighter, like 185?
No. Like I said,
what do you weigh? What do you even weigh?
202. Ooh. But it's not good 202.
True.
I'm working on it. Fucking leave me alone.
Shut up. I'm at like 209?
Yeah, 209. What do you weigh? 209? You're the most lying fucking sack of shit ever right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way you're 209. You're way fatter than that.
No.
Alright.
I cut down a bunch of weight, man. I'm actually really proud of it.
You're 209.
Yeah.
No way. Yeah. I know you've cut weight. I'm just saying.
No, actually,
I don't. Like, it does. It still looks like you weigh more than I do.
No, here's the picture. Well, yeah, I still have a lot of fat to cut off. I mean, right. You look way You look way stronger than I do. Let's not be stupid about this. But I actually have a picture from like way back when I actually weighed myself on the scale, and it actually has 209 on the scale.
Is there like a is there a stunt double in there?
No, I purposely.
Because how does that work?
You know how I can actually tell? It's because I literally have like a jagged ass like toenail situation going on right now in my toes, and it just looks gross. I have so many pictures of John.
John who? Enright?
Enright.
God damn it, Enright.
So when Jeff came here last weekend, we just started taking a bunch of pictures of John, and it was...
Like a snap through?
John hates it because we post pictures of fun. Hey, there.
Wow, good for you, buddy. I weigh more than you.
Yeah.
Like 2 cents.
Yeah, man. I'm trying to cut down. I'm trying to go really...
Well, you have kids now. You have something to cut down for. I just like eating and drinking.
Dude,
so
my back feels so much better after losing all that weight. Like, that's like the biggest thing.
Your back?
My back. I didn't realize I was carrying...
I thought Allison liked your ass.
I didn't realize I was carrying 240 pounds of weight. Like, I thought I was still at 225, and then I weighed myself on, like, December 30th. And then next thing you know, it's like, oh my god, you're really fat. And I quit chewing, quit eating carbs, eat natural, no more gluten.
So like, why do you live then? Like, that's like the three best things ever.
I eat air a lot. Like, I just...
Oh, you're an oxygen guy.
Yeah, I
God bless you.
like the movie Spaceballs, like I just...
Oh my... That's what I enjoy. Spaceballs.
Yeah. That's a...
That's a new one.
I don't know, it just came in my head around.
Spaceballs. Of all the movies you could have thrown out, you decided to go with fucking Spaceballs.
That's a good movie, though. You can't hate that movie.
I can't like it.
Why do you not like Mel Brooks?
The movie's not great.
But that's one of the best movies ever.
Oh my god. John Candy's in it. That's the only reason why I would watch it. Because John Candy... Debate. Rest his soul, John Candy.
Anybody who has questions about this right now, let's ask this. Is Spaceballs a great movie? Give us a yes or a no, and then give us your comments why it is a good movie or a bad movie, and we'll get back to you in the next podcast. Anyways, how do you not think that Spaceballs is a good movie?
It's not a good movie.
That's the most terrific. Okay, what? So do you like Airplane?
Yeah, I love Airplane.
Okay, that's the same concept.
It is, but it's not.
I mean, when you look at a guy like, oh my god, what's his name?
Is it the same concept, though? Like, yes, is it really?
It is. And really, like, when you're looking at, like, when they're doing the Captain Screw and they're saluting and they're
holding balls. There's some funny parts in it, but I wouldn't put it on level with Airplane. That's Airplane's all it is. Legit. It's a real deal.
You got Leslie Nielsen. I mean, okay, yeah,
first of all, Leslie Nielsen is one
rest
of
the... Rest in peace.
Yeah, another guy that... Gone too soon. Age 85. Gone too soon. I love that. He was... Naked Gun's one... Still to this day, Naked Gun... Naked,
any of the Naked Guns, you can't really just put a pedestal on it.
You really, can't. Because Naked Gun, the first one by far, that's the best scene in all of movies, is the baseball game where Reggie fucking Jackson is out there trying to kill the queen. Like, it's like the best scene of any movie ever. You got Leslie Nielsen behind the dish calling balls and strikes. Like, you can't hate that movie. And anybody says they don't like Naked Gun, they don't have a soul. It's just how it works.
To me, the best scene from any of the Naked Gun movies is I think it actually is the baseball one.
You can't. There's no other part of any other movie better.
Okay, no, it might not be the baseball one, but it might actually be the one where they're actually doing the whole like auction or like
event. Oh yeah, no. But I'm not saying other good parts of those movies. Yeah. I'm just saying that Naked Gun, the original, the baseball game is the best scene of any movie. And maybe I'm biased because I'm a baseball fan, but. Leslie Nielsen behind the dish with the vacuum or the dust buster.
Don't, so one person eat like a finger in there, like in a hot dog bun, like somebody like.
The queen takes on a finger on the fucking hot dog.
And there's like there's a big guy eating like this big piece of cake, and he's like.
It's just a good movie. Like, that movie is just top to bottom one of the better, more underrated movies of all time. And
Naked Gun is probably one of the best I've ever seen.
Oh, God, it's such a good movie.
So...
Just, and it's, like, clean humor. Like, anybody can watch that movie.
It is, that's
like,
the thing. It's...
For me, somebody like me, like, I typically like a nice swear word here and there, because I fucking swear all the time. Just, there's an example right there. But I love that movie. Like, it's clean. It's one of the best clean movies ever, if not...
Okay, well, there is, like I was saying, there's a scene in one of the movies which... any of the Naked Guns, and the villain's giving up his plot, and he's explaining it like so simple for Leslie Nielsen, And then Leslie Nielsen goes and asks like a stupid question. He goes, "So what do you mean by this?" And he goes,
"Oh yeah."
And it's like, he's like, "Why are you asking me this again?" Like, I think that's like, I don't know. Like, when you see something that simple that makes you laugh, like that, like diehard, like laughing, I think that's like the better part of every
movie
I've seen in a long time.
I feel like there's like subtle humor.
Yeah.
In that movie that like, you just kind of got to appreciate. You might not think to laugh right away, but it's just, that's what the naked good movies are.
Oh my God.
Oh, man, the Gophers didn't give up a run that inning. That's a big deal.
Oh my God.
Dude, the freshman pitcher of the year. Now, I think it might the conference freshman player of the year.
Okay, so talk to me about Gusto's pitcher. Like, have you heard anything about Gusto's pitcher?
Not a thing. And I feel bad for not knowing because Gusto was my Legion coach. So it felt like good for. I mean, Gusto's been doing. That's a school that's really tough to win at. It's in a farm area. Like, it's just recruiting's difficult.
It's not even just UMC Crookston. It's UMC. Okay, so yeah, UMC Crookston, Gusto is doing the major things over at Dakota Wesley.
They set a win record his first year on the job, and they've been kind of matching that since he's been there for 2-3 years. But I that's the thing. I'm like, I feel bad because it's just a really tough place to recruit and win.
But he's doing such a terrific job.
And which is why, I hope that other colleges. I know, knowing Gusto, he wants to do bigger and better things. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like you wish that he gets that shot. Because people would see what he's done with a program that shouldn't win ever, just based on, much everything.
I think that's what everybody thinks. Like, I mean, ever since day one, like when I saw Gusto,
you can set a win record there. You can get a guy drafted out of your school. You know what you know what you're doing. You just somebody, another college, you know, from maybe somewhere else. I don't know where, whatever. It's just tossing that out there. Like he could coach at a higher level, and he deserves that shot because he was an assistant coach over at UND,
wasn't he, for a while, too, even?
Yes, and he...
Is that prior to you?
Yes.
Yeah. But, I mean, Gusto has the mechanics for it. He knows the fastest of the game. Obviously, we wouldn't have seen him.
Anybody who's played for him knows that he loves the game. And I think that's half the battle. It's like
exactly.
You love the game of baseball. You're willing to learn... on top of what you already know at all times. You know what I mean? And he's one of those guys that's a baseball everything guy. And he's going to do what he can to make himself the best coach that he could possibly be. And he'll demand that from his players too. And I think he'll get that. But like, is that the job? I was hoping that he wouldn't necessarily take that job because that job is tough. Like, that's just it's a small D2 school, town of 7,000, nothing to do. In the farm country, like he's better. He's better than he came back. I know why he came back. Like I mean, have an idea why
he's making a case for himself, like to actually get a bigger job. And it's being well known. Like, that's the thing, though. I mean, with any coach, I mean, they work their way up. I mean, nobody's ever really given the talent right there.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, he was at an NAIA school before. He did really good work. Got him to the. I think it was the NAIA World Series.
Yeah.
From what I
remember. Yeah, from Wesleyan and then from Northland even.
Northland. He set records everywhere he's been. Like, that's a good coach. Like, people need to, realize that that's his...
When you have Northland and you have, a guy like Casey Solon we both grew up with and we played baseball with and he was a fantastic baseball player, but when you have him hitting, was it 600? He was hitting 600 or 500?
No, that's...
He was hitting something ridiculous. No. I'm talking about Northland. He was hitting something ridiculous.
Oh,
I was
600, though. Like, that 600 is fucking unheard of.
Exactly. That
anywhere.
Was the thing.
Anywhere.
But he was hitting something ridiculous. And I was like, what was in
like
the...
450. I mean, 450. Like,
was it 450?
That's like a D3 junior college. With a guy that shouldn't be at a D3 junior college.
No, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he did not... Well, he was not belonging.
But Gusto was also the guy that actually helped push him towards that. No, actually, I mean,
yeah, it's a, yeah, no, like, someone was way more talented than me playing. I think he just settled and it was like maybe something else. But Gusto deserves a better. He deserves a shot.
He does
bigger because I think he could do something with something.
No, I definitely agree with you.
Our Legion baseball teams were really talented when he got there, but we wouldn't have been. I mean, he was part of that too. Like, he helped us. It was a youth program coming up.
Oh my God! You know what the best thing about it was is that. Did I ever tell you that when Gusto, there wasn't like much of a cut for the year that I was here, and when I went there, Solon was like kept on pushing me. He's like, "You're not going to do anything on VFW. You're not going to do anything on VFW. Why don't you just come to Legion and try out for that team? That way you can already be on the team. That way you'll make it for the next year." I was like, "Well, somehow that makes sense, I guess."
But even though it didn't, it made no sense.
Not
one goddamn.
But then there was I think three people or maybe just like two of us. It was like me and Bucklew or like and somebody else. And I played lights out just against Bucklew. It wasn't to beat anybody else, but it was like just to make the team. And I remember I beat Bucklew out, and Bucklew was so pissed off. And he like looked at me, he's like, good luck, you're never going to make it for the next year. So I was like, well, thanks for that words of encouragement, man. That's awesome. But I remember Gus when he chose me, he's like, you have something there that hasn't been seen. I'm like, yeah, it's probably never going to be seen, but... Yeah. You know, it's like, probably never going to be
I believe that was like, hey, you're a really good glue guy.
It's like,
you're not a great baseball player. You fit in well with us. It was a chemistry thing.
Exactly. And I think that he was like, if we need a guy to get hit by a ball, that guy.
We're throwing your ass in there.
You're definitely that guy to get hit by that ball. Fuck. I was like, all right, well, thanks.
Get out. Ooh. No chance. Off the end of the bat.
Dropping, though.
Off the end of the bat. Bob, I got to piss.
Go take a piss. We're going to take a little short break for Andrew Merrick taking a urination sample. Bases juiced for Minnesota right now.
Oregon State,
one out.
Probably the most talented team in college baseball.
Alex Boxwell up to bat. What can he do right now? This is the exciting moment. This is going to be huge.
Yeah, you got to score a run here because there's one out. It's 1-0, one out. You got to get...
And like I just asked you right now, I was like, what do you do in this situation? You got bases loaded right now. Do you go for the sac fly? No, you go for the hit, I think, at that point in time. Obviously, every time you go for a hit.
Yeah, that's crazy talk. You're trying to get a ball that you can handle and drive in fucking four runs. You're trying to do a grand slam here. But
do you want to...
Boxwell's got some pop. And this guy obviously is fucking razzled. He doesn't know what's going on.
You got a lefty in there. I mean, a lefty is going to... Oh,
Boxwell's a good hitter too. Like he's a guy that hits the bottom of the order sometimes, but the guy's got the third most home runs on the team. Like,
okay, so you were telling me about the guy who just got pegged.
Oh Eli Wilson. For all you Mariner fans out there, Danny Wilson, catcher for the Mariners for I think 5 years or five or 6 years, major league catcher, good major league catcher. He's a Washington guy. His boy's a Washington guy, obviously. He's a damn good catcher. Just got drilled. He's a legacy recruit type of guy.
And you said he played with Griffey and who?
Yeah, Mr. Wilson played with Griffey and Buehner. He was on that squad. He's a solid defensive catcher. Like, which to these days, like catchers in the major leagues that rake are very very rare. And if they do rake, it's for a 4-year stretch, and then they kind of just.
So it's a
tough position to play in the bigs for a long time and being productive offensively. There's not a lot of guys that can do it.
We're gonna go slightly small town on this right now. Like your brother had
small town
a pretty big opportunity. Your brother was a pretty great catcher. Your brother's a pretty great catcher back in the day. Yes. Still is.
He still plays baseball, which is amazing to me at 34 years old.
When you play in Minnesota, when you play amateurs, like I don't think there's like a shelf life really for us. Like I think that you play because you love the game.
Exactly. When you decide you just want to keep playing baseball, it's not because
you're not
amateur baseball in Minnesota is a very very big thing, and my brother Matt is still doing. I can't do it anymore because I'm.
You're younger than Matt. Like that's one thing. Like I wish you would still just do it. Like honestly, you're like the high hope. Oh, going way outside.
That's not why.
Why are you chasing?
Oh Jesus! Just one run on us. We got to get a lead out of this. No, Matt was. You know, Matt is still to this day, and I say this, not even out of bias at all. He's still the best defensive catcher I've ever thrown to. I've ever seen. In person, and I played, you know,
Some of the funniest moments.
I played Division I baseball, so I mean, like it's to watch these catchers at the Division I level. Like we're watching Minnesota and Oregon State here, and I see these catchers, and Oregon State's catcher is legit. Oregon State's catcher is a top 3-round pick.
But your brother's college team actually made it into the tourney somewhat this year. They're in the regionals.
Campbell University, they were in the regionals. They lost. I think they lost to. I was kind of falling. Like, who did they lose to? They lost to a top seed. I think it's Georgia or something like that. It was a regional game, but yeah, no, I mean,
they played in Grand Forks.
There's a train.
There's a train. There's a train.
They must be playing in Grand Forks. They must be playing in Grand Forks because
someone's attached to it.
They only run trains in fucking this town for at the times that you need to get somewhere. So like 8 o'clock, noon, and 5:30. So. So there's a lot of things I hate. I hate the Green Bay Packers. I hate fucking trains. And, you know, I guess...
Okay, Drew, so you hate the Green Bay Packers. Let's talk about rivalries.
Oh, I love rivalries. Let's go. Cool.
Okay,
let's
so do it. Obviously you're a Minnesota Gopher's football fan.
Yes, I'm a Gopher everything fan.
You're a Gopher everything fan.
Except okay. for, you know, I'm a Gopher baseball fan now that I my baseball team literally had their program axed because of financial bullshit reasons, so...
I agree with you, man. I know I was there 100%. I actually loved you. Bullshit.
And we had the Conference USA Player of the Year coming in. We had the Big Ten home run leader 2 years, Jake Adams, a couple years. He went to Iowa instead.
There was another guy, too, that we actually had who actually won the home run derby. A few years back.
Oh, Mr. Campbell, Jeff Campbell.
Yeah, Jeff Campbell. And he was hitting bombs. I mean, just straight up bombs. He was on ESPN, guys.
It's not low key. You have some real power. If you're going to a home run derby and you're winning a home run derby, like, that's real power. Like,
yeah.
Despite how 100%. the balls might be, who gives a shit? The balls are juiced. The guy can still hit the ball a long ways. Like, it's.
Exactly.
I think home run derbies, I think they might lather up the balls a little bit.
There was a conversation I got
get
to.
Get a little groping in there and just.
I got into a conversation with a guy a long time ago and he goes, you know, it's crazy because...
Walk them, asshole. Walk them.
It is a 3-1, take two
this,
outs.
I would just take this pitch out of just...
I would, too. Okay, so here's a stupid thing. What Gusto would always give me as a sign on a 3-1 count with two outs, he would always give me the bunt sign.
Yeah, because
to you fake to fake the bunt, yeah, you fake the bunt. Yeah, but he would always throw the pitcher off a bit.
I don't know if it would though. I think he just was like, Bobby, you're not going to swing and hit the ball. So
unless I'm going for a home run.
Ball four.
No.
That's terrible. That's fucking terrible. Oregon State is getting bailed out by fucking umpires like it's nobody's business right now.
Hey, just keep a good eye.
Watch it. Seven inches outside. Anybody watching this?
That is a frame job.
Look at that.
That
look
is a frame that. Job.
Like, I don't argue balls and strikes. Like, I'm a guy who never argues the umpires. That's bad.
To me, that was a slow motion frame job.
And he's going to throw a fucking 3-2 slider here, and he's going to get another call. That's terrible.
What if this guy hits a dinger, though?
No, it's that would be rare. Just fight it off.
On his shoulder,
just shorten up and
he's
fight
relaxed.
Off. This guy's going to throw you another ball.
He's a number seven, dude. He's a number seven. That's a good number.
Yes! That's a makeup call. That's a makeup call, folks. You can't see this. If you're watching it live, you might be able to see it.
That was a tad bit.
But that's a makeup
low.
Call.
That was
that's
a makeup call. Bit, a tad bit low. I would actually would have called that one for a strike rather than the other one, man, 100%.
First time trailing. Oregon State's first time trailing in the NCAA tournament.
Oh, boy. Bottom
look at this.
Board.
Look at this umpire. Who's the umpire? Does anybody have umpire names here? Do they do that?
Yeah, I think
can
his name
you
is...
give out because in the major leagues you can find out because I do daily fantasy and I can see umpire fucking I can see umpire statistics.
Is this guy's really name is Colt McDivitt or Cole McDivitt?
McDivitt. Cole McDivitt. I think he's a Wayzata guy, Minnesota guy.
Mm-hmm.
But this pitcher looks just fucking frazzled right now. Like this is. Nope. Oh. Yeah, he's worked up.
That was a nasty curve.
It was a good pitch.
Like good pitch just, and throw outside to start off with.
If we can get a bloop hit to the outfield here and we score two, this series is real. This is a real thing.
And everybody, I want everybody to pay attention here, is that we're not going to solely talk about baseball.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It's not in Drew's fault. I'm on a heater right now.
Like, I'm watching I get pretty heated about sports, if you guys haven't figured that out already.
We're going to talk about a little bit of everything. And obviously, when college football season comes around the bend here, I don't pay a lot of attention to recruiting because recruiting is ridiculous. I think that
he actually does. He loves football recruiting more than anybody on the face of the earth.
When they sign and the papers are signed and they're actually coming to the school. Aside from that, I don't think it really means a whole lot. Ooh.
No, I just have, you don't have to throw there. You don't have to throw there. Mm. Yeah, no. I'm sorry, folks. We're watching the Oregon State Minnesota game here, and
it's a big moment.
This is real. We got real world shit we're dealing with here, and.
When you don't have baseball, I guess in general, like even in North Dakota, it's a thing that you want to see.
College baseball is so beautiful.
Is it sprinkling?
It's such a beautiful game.
It's sprinkling there.
No, it isn't.
Is it? I think it is.
This guy is so razzed right now. This Oregon State pitcher.
But it looks like nothing.
The Gophers have fucked his mind.
Where are they even playing at?
They're in Corvallis. By the way, if Oregon State. Like, this, Oregon State, this is a real thing here. Oregon State is so fucking good. They're so talented. Like,
well, they are.
And if the Gophers can pull off this upset, like, College World Series for this city, this town, and I'm not even, I'm not, I'm not, I'm not, I live in Northwest Minnesota.
I think for this region, I think that would be a huge movement.
It would be huge because if you can sneak into the see, like, this is such a confidence booster for these boys. It's unbelievable. If they can sneak in two runs here and go up 4-1, I think this series gets real because we got shit rolled the first time we played them.
And we talked about this earlier. I mean, and to me, like, obviously, like, I'm rooting for Cal State Fullerton, and obviously Miami didn't make it in.
He fucked up. He flat out. I hope they keep him in.
Botch. This is a botch. But when we talked about this, like, it's Miami's not in this year. It was a down year.
You're a Miami guy. Tell me what Miami football. Let's transition here. Miami football.
Miami football. Gosh, what are you discussing?
What are your expectations here? Like,
We had a really... Actually, I think we had a fantastic season. I think we should have beat Wisconsin last year.
Yeah, you guys fucked that up pretty good.
Yes, we did. We did, but I think that at the same time, I think we choked against Clemson. And I'm a huge Miami fan. I don't like to say we choked, but...
You just had a lead.
We had... When we played against Clemson, I don't think there was, like, the paralysis there that we needed to be there. And I think that this year, I think going into it, I think that our defense is going to be key. Even though we lost a few defensive prospects, obviously, we lost Kendrick Norton. We lost McIntosh, and we lost,
quarterback. Obviously. Let's talk quarterback.
Ooh, quarterback.
How do you feel about that, the whole scenario? I'm gonna transition to the ACC because I don't give a flying fuck about the ACC, but let me see what you got to hear.
Here's the thing about football. Oh, Miami and football in general is... It's a thing where you want to be... To hold swagger. You want to hold that the legacy back.
Yeah, I get it.
And
you guys had a good run there. You guys you should have good teams every year because you have all the talent in the world in their backyard.
And I honestly think that when you look at it, I think that this year is probably the most prominent that we're going to have in the years past. I think Malik Rozier is going to come out firing. And it's a quarterback battle. That's what we're talking about.
Tell me about that guy. I don't know. Like I said, I'm asking you because I don't know much about how all that shit... I have an idea of the Gopher guys that come in and are...
I understand.
Gopher recruits that are coming in, but I don't follow Miami, and that's why you're here because we're going to talk about we have a broad spectrum.
And I think that Malik Rozier is a guy who is very gutsy. Who's going to take chances? Who's going to take? Honestly, in a way, he's like a Brett Favre in a sense.
He's a gunslinger.
He's a guy that's going to make passes, and he's going to wait until it actually develops. And he struggled last year, obviously, but we have guys
He's a young guy. He's a freshman, right?
Sophomore? Rozier is a redshirt senior this year.
So he's got some time under his belt.
Last year was his first time under the belt. He had a big win for us against Duke in his sophomore year. But this year, I think it's a more of a question of consistency and he played. Oh my god, he won the first game for us in a long time against Florida State, which was huge. I don't think I've ever been so ecstatic in my life. Beating Florida State, obviously, my rival, is a huge moment for me.
Absolutely,
I think with you, game, like if you were to just crush Wisconsin, just wholeheartedly, just
crush them. And guess what? The Gophers haven't beaten Wisconsin in fucking 16 years, so it's been driving me nuts. And I hate that school so much. But
and for me, it's like when I see that. We beat Florida State. We've come back from close games against Georgia Tech. We've come back from Duke and Virginia, Syracuse. I mean, it's just been huge. Like, he leads a team, and it was a team that we didn't have the marquee player as far as
you guys always have talent.
No, 100%. We always have talent. If you're
recruiting to the University of Miami, I mean, like, kids are just. You guys have all the recruiting tools you could possibly need in your backyard.
Mark Richt has made the most big difference that we could have ever had. Like, the biggest difference that we could have ever had.
That was a strike last inning, asshole. Okay, continue.
No, he slipped out on a 2-2. But Mark Richt is really bringing in some marquee players.
I've always been a Mark Richt guy. Even when he was playing for... Yep. He was coaching for Georgia. Sorry, not playing. Coaching for Georgia.
Yeah.
I feel
confident when he does everything.
He's definitely a player's coach.
Yeah, exactly. 100%.
He is. The guy he's fantastic.
When you have a guy that recruits Nick Chubb and Sonny Michel,
yeah,
basically in your backyard, boom. Sonny Michel was supposed to be going to University of Miami, and all of a sudden flipped like a day before.
He got fired because he couldn't win with that talent. Yeah, exactly. And then he goes to Miami. He's got more talent to work with. And I've always liked Richt. He's a quality human being.
I will tell you this right now. The guys you should be watching out for is Joe Jackson Oh, for sure.
Running
oh
back?
Oh, my gosh. No, he's a DN. He's DN, lanky, yeah. Tall, lanky. But then there's a guy that we have coming in as a freshman who is just a talented young man who is like 6'9". He was actually like a receiver and free safety. Boom. Done deal. And they put him at defensive end. The guy's going to be a force to be reckoned with. He actually had five sacks in the spring game.
Like I said, we cover a broad range of teams here because me and my two buddies here, we're going to cover. You're going to hear Sonny pretty soon here.
Sonny, oh my God, Ohio State phenom.
He's a Ohio State guy. We're all Minnesotans, but we all talk about
and I think that's broad what I range love.
Of teams.
I think that's what I love. I think that's why we've actually been so much more closer is that we actually get to talk about different aspects of the Big Ten, obviously, yep, and the ACC.
Like we have guys that are on the powerhouse teams, and you got a little small town guy who likes the Gophers.
Here's the thing, though. Like, have you ever noticed that there's like a broad hatred, just like a flat out hatred of SEC?
What SEC? We all hate the SEC. We hate the SEC. The SEC is just. First of all, I hate Alabama, and it's not because of it. They're a fantastic. I mean, they're just a powerhouse. We can all agree on that.
Oh, yeah.
But about Alabama is that what's always driven me crazy about Alabama is the fact that Alabama goes out and schedules some dog shit team in the sixth week of the season, God. And they get baby.
Yeah, they get like Chattanooga State or something. Yeah,
you can play against. That's fine. You want to play against Missouri and Mississippi State? Those are decent average teams, but they're no better than the middle tier of the Big Ten.
Oh, God.
So, but the SEC's always been baby because of the athletes, but. I think the Big Ten has the best coaches in America.
Some of the best, yeah. I'd agree with you. Like,
don't get me wrong. Alabama is the cream of the crop. Alabama's fucking. Alabama is the real deal. They can recruit. That's the team. That is the team in the SEC. But other teams, LSU.
I'll agree with you.
All those teams have been very subpar since 2012.
Okay, so like with SEC, they had Les Miles. Les Miles now gone, and I don't know where Les Miles even landed. Did he land
anywhere? I don't give a shit where he landed, and I don't care. But you
look at the ACC. The ACC has obviously Mark Richt. Dabo Sweeney.
Don't get me wrong. ACC has good coaches. Dabo Sweeney is a good coach.
Richt
is a good coach.
But
Richt fucked up in the SEC. So you can't really. Georgia hasn't won shit. I mean,
he really didn't. And Kirby Smart there now.
So you can't really throw his ass into that mix.
You have Kirby Smart there now. But now you have guys like. Oh my gosh, you have guys that should have been there, like Jimbo Fisher just ended up deciding to take off. Now you have
Jimbo Fisher's the old kid.
Who's the old coach from South Florida that actually just ended up taking that job? South Florida's coach ended up taking that job over.
What's his name? Exactly. Oh, God damn it.
He's a good guy.
Taggart?
Yeah, there you go. Willie Taggart.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's Willie Taggart.
Somebody's going to correct us if we're wrong. So we're just this podcast is all about complete bullshit. I just want people to know that.
It's his whole heart. Oh, they called that in.
That's all right. Did you get a double play ball and we're fine?
I'll tell you this right now. I think that Miami has the best core of linebackers in all college football. That's just my opinion.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm saying that when it comes to talent, Miami will always be there. It's a matter of if you can coach them up to beat the other teams in the SEC. And
exactly.
Florida State is Taggart, right? That's Taggart.
Yep. So I think we're gonna womp them this year, but that's just me. I mean, hopefully, we came with a big win last year.
I agree.
But I think this year they're gonna be a little bit more profound, and they're gonna be a little bit more dominant coming into it. The offense, hopefully, I'm hoping fires in all cylinders. I mean, we got guys that are coming in there like Lorenzo Lingard, and we have Travis Homer. Travis Homer is a good running back.
I typically root for my friends' teams. That aren't in the Big Ten. Sonny will be on this podcast at some point in time. You guys will meet Sonny here. Sonny's an Ohio State fan. I won't root for Ohio State. I won't do it. He's a Big Ten guy. He likes Ohio State. I hate Ohio State. But if we can do this and people can tell us who their least favorite college football teams are, that would be cool.
No, 100%.
I'll say this. My two least favorite college football teams are Iowa and Wisconsin.
Oh, obviously, yeah. It's the Big Ten. You have that hatred for it.
You got that. And obviously, Sonny will come on here and we'll talk Michigan and Ohio State. Bar none. He hates Michigan.
Bar none.
But Bobby over here, he's a Miami
Florida
guy.
State,
he
Florida
hates
it. I hate Florida State.
And it's, conference rivalry.
It's just bar none. It's like Florida State has always been my hatred. And everybody's like, why aren't you paying attention to Florida? Or like Florida, why would I pay attention to Florida? Florida State's always been my rival. Wide rights, wide lefts. Like, I mean, that's been a huge thing in my life.
Field goals are fucking real. It's a real thing in college football.
And I love when people always bring up the fact that I'm a bandwagon jumper. The bandwagon jumper? Like, no, not even close. I don't think I've ever been a bandwagon jumper. Like, I fell in love with them far beyond anybody else.
Bobby just loves rooting for teams that'll eventually fuck him over. Mm-hmm. Just like me. I'm a Minnesota fan. The professional sports market in Minnesota has been more of a...
Let me tell you my favorite baseball player of all time.
Go ahead. This will be good.
Nick Punto.
Oh, yeah. Podcast. Anybody who knows who Nick Punto... That would be incredible if anybody knew who that was anyways. But
Nick Punto, I don't know why. But he... I don't know. He won one Golden Glove.
No, he did not. He did not win a Gold Glove.
He won a Gold
Glove. No, he didn't. He did. He didn't play every day.
He did. 100%.
Google it.
And I think he batted like 600 at one point.
Okay.
That's for you. Trey Norman, that's for you. He batted 600. He didn't bat more.
He's going to say shit like, this podcast is about Bobby telling you random facts that aren't actually fucking real. So
it can be. Well, here's the thing about our podcast.
Nick fucking Punto. Really? Yeah, that's
best play. Defensive. That's why I was.
He was on the Moonlight Ground podcast.
There you go.
I'm going to plug my buddy's Moonlight Ground podcast. Anybody that has never been on or seen the Moonlight Ground podcast, look her up, especially if you're from the Midwest, because my buddy Tim, he runs a podcast called The Moonlight Graham Show, and it's great. It's all these connections to the Iowa. He's got Scott Schebler from the Reds on there. He gets Seneca Wallace. If you're a Midwest person, you'll love it. I think you'll love it anyways, because these guys drink like we do, so it's going
to
be good.
Let me talk to you about this right now. Okay, so we're getting to things that are a little bit more folly. What is the one player, and out of any sport, that you've actually went into absolutely loving that absolutely sucked?
That I loved that sucked?
Yeah, that sucked.
That's a really good question. This is another question for the audience here, too. I think a lot of... Oh, fuck. Gophers are about to get shit rolled.
By the way, Andrew Merrick is the most pessimistic
I'm the most pessimistic guy of all time, by the way. If you guys didn't know, I can fucking rant like nobody's business, but this is not good. Favorite athlete that's unheard of? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for, yeah.
Okay, so people wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Jeez, that's a really good question, because there's a lot of them. Because we have a lot of shitty...
It doesn't have to be, like, it can be any sport.
We have a lot of shitty no-name guys. Minnesota rolls out a lot of teams that are terrible with good players on them.
Yeah, 100%.
Right?
Yeah, they do. No, I agree with you.
Twins, Vikings, all that shit.
You end up liking some of these, people like... Love Jim Klantsos, right? There's no disrespect to Jim Klantsos. Let's get that right.
I don't disagree.
Jim Klantsos.
If my little brother was on this, which I'll never let him be on this podcast.
Let's do it.
let's get
Bradley on here.
He is a 100%.
I love Jim Klantsos.
Jim Klantsos. And he's a goal.
Here's the thing. I like Jim Klantsos for like all the different reasons that everybody hated him for.
He was
a great blocker. He was a marquee blocker.
That's actually a really good guy for like a no-name guy that just did everything right. He was like a fullback in the NFL.
If you guys didn't know
him. He played a little tight end to start out with, but then he played fullback, and he was the best lead blocker that you would ever see. He was the guy
that was working.
And he actually retired early. Like, he would have had a 15-year career because he was so good at blocking and he was tougher than shit.
Exactly.
He was he not?
No, 100%.
Like, he was so tough and he would just destroy people.
But he was a name that wasn't like a household name, that was the thing, unless you were from Grand Forks, North Dakota.
Who's a running back? Let me give you a little trivia question. Who was a running back that lined up behind him when he was lead blocking for three quarters of his career?
Oh my gosh.
Because he, as a Viking, he played for the University of North Dakota, and then he got drafted as a tight end, and he played tight end for 3 years in the NFL, and then they shifted him to like a fullback because he was a fucking bulldog, and they
wouldn't just... Oh my god, was it
running back for the Vikings?
Smith.
Yes, it was Robert Smith. He blocked for Robert Smith for a long time. And then he blocked for Adrian Peterson for 2 years.
Robert Smith retired early, even. Like, early for what we would expect as
running
back.
Right, no, Robert Smith.
He played like a good like 5 years.
An Ohio State guy, which Sonny will tell you about. He was such a great blocker that, like, if he wanted to...
He opened up holes that, like, wouldn't have been there.
No, he could have stuck around for 5 more years, but and I say NFL players, like, that is the most grueling professional sport. And you can't really disagree with that. It's a physical, angry man sport.
Oh, no, 100%.
And this guy, and Jimmy Klantsosser retired when he should have, which a lot of NFL players think that they have a 15-year career. It's not true. It's a bulldog sport.
Guys,
Jimmy Klantsosser blocked and put his head in the middle of all these scrums, lead blocker forever. He did it for, like, I think it was 10, I think he had a 10-year career. Now he lives on Lake Minnetonka, rough life. But he just was the best lead blocker, and nobody could really... You couldn't really describe the guy unless you watched him play, because he was just... He did everything right.
I think Jim Kloster
played... And he was the no-name guy. He never got any credit.
He played the game with a whole lot of heart.
He had balls, man. He had the biggest sack on the face of the earth.
And that's what I love about it. It's like, I think that's what we miss nowadays in football.
Got guys that are injured every other day, and Jimmy Kleinsasser played the toughest goddamn position in football when it comes to injuries. Like a lead blocker, tight end blocker. He didn't go out for... At the end of his career, he would line up a tight end, but he wouldn't go out for passes very often because he was too busy blocking these fucking monster defensive ends. And he was just a stud, man. Okay. Like he's the underrated guy that you would never see.
In your eyes.
You wouldn't see unless you were watching close.
In your eyes, have ESPN commercials went down in grade, or have they actually maintained or gotten better?
I tell you what, ESPN, that's the only thing that's good about ESPN is the commercials. Because they still can throw a little comic relief in there.
Oh, yeah, you got the Aaron Judge going on right now with Trey Wingo.
By the way, Yankees are my least favorite baseball team.
Oh, God, 100%.
Not even close. And that's everybody that's not a Yankees fan hates the fucking Yankees.
It's a team that you want to hate. It's a team that you have to hate.
You have to hate because they just outspend you, and you want to be them. You want to be the Yankees because you will spend money to get players to help you win, which 100%. Is what all professional sports franchises 100%. Should fucking do.
100%. And here's what I'm going to tell you right now is that, guys, I want to thank you for tuning in for the first podcast of the first episode of the Saturday Morning Cuddle Talk. This is just me and Drew. Just waiting on my brother.
This is what we do on a normal day. So we thought we'd throw it onto a goddamn cell phone. And
here's how we go, guys. I want to thank Anchor for allowing us to do this. And I want to thank everybody else for tuning in. And I think it's going to be a major hit. Let us know if you guys like it. And we'll be able to record soon again.
Yeah, well,
peace out. Drew, you got any ending remarks?
Go Twins, go Vikings, go Gophers, go Wild, go Wolves.
It's all about
America.
He did not vote for Trump, by the way.
Nope, no way.
It's all about the U, baby. That's how we're going to do it. All right, we'll see you guys next week. So, guys, it is the end of the Saturday Morning Cuddle Talk podcast, and I'm so glad you guys joined in. Me and Andrew Merrick, we had a great time recording this, and right now, we just got called on a Sega Strike 3 call, and we're going to just go back into trying to get back into this game, and right now, we're going to pay respects to Ovi for the first Stanley Cup held up tie.
God bless Ovi, my favorite hockey player of all time.
He is literally the best. Fuck Sidney Crosby, that's how we're going to do it. All right, guys, we love you. We'll talk to you guys next week. Oh, my gosh. It is another episode of Saturday Morning Cuddle Talk. I am your host, Bobby Perez. We're going to be doing this one on the road just a bit. We're going to talk about a lot of things. Me and Drew have taken a break once again. He had his niece's little birthday party, but we're going to get into a few topics, and hopefully you guys can enjoy. Hey guys, what's going on? We've been on hiatus for quite some time now, but you know, I'm gonna just kind of go off without Drew on this one. This is episode 12 of the Saturday Morning Cuddle Talk podcast. I am your host, Bobby Perez, and I am gonna be almost just like Drew to the point where I am an absolute pessimist. So get ready for it. Here we come. Episode going now.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.